Pray with me and for me.
That I speak and the things that I say.
And Father, right now I receive the prayers of the saints, Lord, the prayers of this body that you've set me in and made me a part of. And Lord, I just receive their prayers. And Father, I just receive now, Lord, the anointing of God upon my life. And Father, that it may look like Delbert and it may sound like Delbert, but Father, it'll be the Holy Ghost that will be speaking to us. And it'll be the Holy Spirit that will be ministering into our lives. Father, I ask you that you just make me a vessel to pour out of me, Lord God. Pour out of me, Lord God, the things that are in me. Now put your hand on your heart. Put your hand on your heart. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray now that the seed of the living God comes and dwells in our heart. Father, that it comes forth, and it comes forth, and it does something into our mind. Now put your hand on your mind. Put your hand on your head. And Father, that we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. We'll be renewed in the spirit of our mind. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father God, touch my mind. Lord Jesus, touch my mind. Holy Spirit, renew my mind. Father, we just ask you right now to reprogram us. Change us, Lord, that we be not conformed to this world, but we be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We ask you these things in Jesus' name, and we can rightly declare these things, for this is the wisdom of God. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Amen. We're continuing on with what we began last week. I want to talk about this morning, of how to have a renewed mind. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans with me, chapter 12. I'm not going to recap it all. I don't have time. You can get the tape. It was an excellent message. That's right. Don't believe me? Ask Mark. Is that right, Mark? We talked about the issues of life. How they come out of your heart. They come out pure. They come out right, but they have to go through our mind. And what happens when they hit our mind is something happens to them. God gives us a new heart and a new spirit. And Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And out of that spirit comes truth. Out of that spirit comes life and light. But by the time it goes through our mind, something happens to it. And it's not as pure. And it's not as life. And it's not as light-giving as it was when it initiated. But what we're talking about now is being renewed in the spirit of our mind. And I want to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's what we do when we come to the Lord. We come, we present ourselves unto Him. We come as a living sacrifice. He has done something in our heart. He's done something in our thought life. We now hate sin. That's how we know John said in 1 John that if we hate sin, then we know we're saved. He says, you cannot continue in sin and be saved. Is that what the Bible says? Yes. So we know then that God comes in and we begin to hate sin. We hate our sin, and we looked in the book of Ezekiel chapter 36, and it says you'll look at your past and you will loathe yourself. We come to God and we say, Father, we don't understand this. We don't understand what's happening. I don't understand what I'm doing, but I just present myself to you as a living sacrifice. I want you to take me. I want you to burn me with the fire of your Holy Spirit. I want you to change me. I want you to make me what I'm supposed to be. And once you've done that, once you've committed yourself to that change, then you're a candidate then for verse number 2, which says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Please notice again that the will of God is not in three dimensions. There's not the good will of God, the acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. The will of God is always good. The will of God is always acceptable. And the will of God is always perfect. And that's what you're trying and striving to do, is to be renewed in your mind so that you can understand and prove the will of God in your life. Now that's what we're doing, and that's what we're talking about. And how many has ever been told that you need to be renewed in your mind? Preachers have told you. You've read it in the Bible yourself. Holy Spirit's told you. How many has ever been told you need to be renewed in your mind? Okay? But how many has ever had somebody to tell you how to do it? And that's what this teaching is about. We're asking the Holy Spirit. We're leaning on the Holy Spirit to please show us, not just tell us to do it, but to show us how to do it. I want to know how to be renewed in my mind. And that's what this teaching is about. That's what this teaching is about. Not just to tell you you're supposed to be renewed in your mind, but tell you how to do it. And I want to just jump into what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about today about seeking God's wisdom. I want to talk about today, and this is the title of it, The Beginning of a Renewed Mind is Seeking God's Wisdom. And I want you to say that back to me. The beginning of a renewed mind is seeking God's wisdom. Let's all say it this time. The beginning of a renewed mind is the seeking of God's wisdom. One more time. The beginning of a renewed mind is the seeking of God's wisdom. I am confident of this thing, that you will never understand what a renewed mind is until you understand God's wisdom. And that's what I'm going to try to project to you today and show you. And let's turn to the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I want to do a teaching on the book of James because it's so practical. But today I'm going to use about 12 verses here in James to bring you the thought of seeking God's wisdom. I want to read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it depression, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces a quickie, and let a quickie have its imperfect result, that you may be imperfect and incomplete and lacking everything. Now you're laughing, but evidently that's the way we interpret that scripture. How many of you, when you enter into a trial, you enter into a testing, you enter into a battle? Charismatics don't like to say they're being tested or tried. They want to say they're in battle. How many of you, when you enter into a battle, consider it joy and you laugh about it? How many of you get depressed? And yeah, see? And see, that's being conformed to the world. What does the world tell you to do when you get depressed? Go find Dr. Cash and get him to give you an antidepressant pill. Am I right? Now, what we've got to see, and what the being conformed to the world is one thing, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind is something totally different. See, when you come into a trial and a test, we're supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to laugh about it. We're supposed to understand some things about this testing and about this trial that will bring joy into our life. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But now I want to read it correctly, and I want to read down through verse 12. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. King James Bible says patience. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. But let the brother of humble circumstance glory in his high position, and let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flowers fall off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, there are 7 points or 7 thoughts that I want to give you. Then we're at the end of the message. We're going to put these 7 points or these 7 thoughts into a formula. And if you will add these 7 points or 7 thoughts or this formula into your life, you will understand what the wisdom of God will do for you. And it will add another dimension to understanding the renewing of our mind. And that's what I'm after today, is using this particular passage as a formula which I've applied and used in my life for years. And I know works. I know this works. The first thing I want to talk about is James says, consider it joy. The word joy there means cheerfulness. It means calm delight. But as I've already said to you, when we enter into our times of trial or battles or whatever, we don't go into joy. We go into depression. We don't consider it joy. We consider it a bad thing. We don't have a calm delight about it at all. We get into a place where we open the door for the enemy. Now let me explain what I've just said. In the joy of the Lord is my strength. In His presence is the fullness of joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, when I consider it joy, have I just included the Lord God into my trial, into my battle, into my circumstance? Have I just brought the kingdom of God into this thing? But if I go into depression, and if I go into a bad way of thinking, what have I just done? I've just blocked Him out. I've just shut the door. And I've opened a way for the enemy to come in and to attack me and to persecute me. So when I consider it joy, I've entered His strength, I've entered His kingdom, and I've entered His presence into my trial. That's why we need to understand that we must learn to consider it joy. The second thing that He says there is knowing that. Knowing that this is doing something in our life. I don't have to spend a whole lot of time in teaching this group of people because we've spent so much time and had so many messages about it. But we understand that we will be tested, don't we? We understand that we're made perfect through the testings. The Apostle Paul says that through much tribulation you shall enter the kingdom of God. We know that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tested by who? The devil. The Lord God teaches us to pray. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. But then He says this. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we understand that there are temptations. There are things that we will be going through. And what the Bible is trying to teach us is knowing that you're going to go through these temptations, knowing that, let that work something into your life. Knowing that that's going to happen to you, it's going to do something in you. You will become bitter or better. You will become conquered or more than a conqueror. You will be overcome or overcomer. You will get mean or you will get mature. But here's what I really want to say, is you will become worldly or you will become wise. I'd rather be wise. That is being conformed to God's way and not conformed to the way of the world. That is being transformed into His likeness and into His way. Knowing that, you're going to be tested. Knowing that, then, you can come out of that thing better than you went into it. And that's what this is about. Knowing that what you're going through now, whatever that you're facing now, whatever you will face and whatever you have faced, is to make you a better person and not a bitter person. To make you wise and not worldly. The third thing He says there is that it produces endurance. The King James Bible says patience. Now, endurance is not a 100-yard dash. The world wants a quickie. We live in an instant society. We get into depression, we want an anti-depression pill. And we want it how? When do we want it? Now! Okay? We want a hamburger. We want it now. So we go to Wendy's, right? We'll be going to McDonald's before long. Aren't you glad? When do we want it? Now. We live in an instant society. We're programmed to be instant. We're programmed for quickies. But the Word of God says that knowing that, it's going to work what into you? Patience. Endurance. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's not a 50-yard dash. It's cold in here, Andy. It's an endurance race. And you're in this thing for life. And when you start running it is when you decide you're going to be renewed in your mind. And you're running, and verse 12 just told us what we're running for. We're running for the crown of life. We're running for not the crown of death. And I'll talk about that in just a second. We're running for a crown of life. Now we're running. And we're in an endurance race. And we keep on running either until the Lord comes or until we go to be with the Lord. That's how long this race is for. It's to work endurance into our life. Now, we're programmed for quickies. It's the way of the world. The world is a quickie world. I want it now. And I'm going to say something, and I hope I'm not offensive. But in the book of Proverbs, we find two women. Now, wisdom is is displayed in the book of Proverbs is a woman. A woman that is to be more desirable, and we're going to read it in just a second. A woman that's going to be more desirable than gold. A woman that is more precious than silver. More desirable than fine jewels. That's what the book of Proverbs. And we're to seek her. Seek after this woman of wisdom like we would seek after a woman that we really loved and really wanted. And you men can understand that, so you women can kind of maybe reverse it and know how you seek after the man. But that's the picture that he says, seek after her. Seek after this wisdom. Seek after this woman. But there's another woman that's portrayed in the book of Proverbs. And this woman is the harlot. This woman is the woman of Babylon. This woman is the woman of the world. And now when we seek after the one woman, you read in there that the other woman stands at the door and says, come on in because my husband has gone on a long journey. I have perfume on my pillow. You'll like it and you'll get a quick fix. I hope I'm not being offensive. I'm just trying to present to you where the Bible is projecting us wisdom. We want a quick fix. We want things quick. But the Bible doesn't teach that. What does the Bible say? That you understand when you go into this trial and this testing, it is to know that it's going to work into you what? Endurance and a lifelong run. Not a quickie. But we want quickies. How many is hearing something that I'm saying? Okay. Now, what we've got to understand is that the Bible really wants us to have endurance. So we're coming into that aspect. It's not for quickie. It's for an endurance. We want somebody in the kingdom of God, once we get saved, to come up to us and lay hands on us and rebuke all the devils off of us and put their hands on us and our minds get straight and all of our problems are gone. Am I right? And I've had people pray for me like that, and you've had people pray for you like that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. It says it is endurance. When I go through these things, I'm not supposed to, now having people pray with you and pray for you is good. I think that you should do that because it's really working some good things. It's working good things into your life. But the main thing you want to get with people to pray with you for is so they can minister to you the wisdom of God. When you're with people, and all of us do from time to time, we're having a problem. So we go to somebody and we talk about this problem. And we're discussing this problem, and this person tells us what they feel like is the answer. Has any of you ever asked anybody about a problem and they didn't tell you an answer? Everybody's got an answer. And particularly in the church. See, when we get born again, we think we're supposed to have all the answers. And they'll go to you and they'll give you an answer. Now, what I'm declaring and wanting you to point out in this particular point is that what you need to do is make that person show you the scripture. Say, okay, that sounds good, but where is the scripture? And if they can say, well, I know it's in here somewhere, it'll do two things. It'll work something good in their life because they'll be forced to show you in the Bible where it's at. The next time they minister this to somebody, they'll know what they're doing. Or they'll call somebody to find out where it's at. Or it will prove that it's not the Word of God. And you don't need to do it anyhow. And if it's not the Word of God, folks, I'm telling you, it's just the world. And it's going to be a quickie. And it's not going to work that thing into you that it's supposed to work into you. Am I right now? You know I'm right. So let's just keep on going. I'm doing real well. It's going to have its perfect work. The fourth thing we've got to understand is it has its perfect result. King James Bible says it's perfect work. If we do it right, it brings something perfect. It brings a maturity. The word teleos, it brings that maturity into our life. It brings us to a place where God can show us His will. And is that not what being conformed to His way is? Being transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we will know and prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God? So that when it works its thing in you, then you will know what God's will is through that thing. You will know what it is. Now, I'm in a tough little spot. We know, and it's easy to apply this principle to our lives. We know that when I go through a test, when I go through a trial, that it's good for me because I'm going to learn something through it. If you're in this fellowship very long, that principle is worked into you, and you know that. But it's another thing, isn't it, when our children go through tests or trials, or our loved ones, somebody that we really love, a brother or a sister, or a mother or a daddy, or somebody that we really love, when they go through a test or a trial, it's a different thing. It's difficult then. Because, you see, we want to jump in there and help them. We want to fix it for them. We want to give them a quickie. Hello? What should we let that thing do in them? Knowing that the testing of your faith worketh endurance. God wants them to endure, not quickie. People are in and out of the church. You know why? Because we're trying to give them quickies. And we've got to use discernment here. We've got to understand God's discernment. And when does He want us to really jump in there and help somebody? Or when does He really want us to allow something to work into their lives so that they won't have to face that thing again? That's what we're talking about here. There has its perfect result. It works something into our lives. And it has a perfect result. And then the fifth thing that He says there is, if you don't know what to do, if you're in this trial and this testing and you don't understand it, He says then, ask God for wisdom. I never put those two, even in my concordances, as I study the book of James, they talk about James talking in Proverbs, that he'll say something and then he'll totally jump to something else and then he'll totally jump to something else. Well, that's not what he's doing here. He says, if you lack wisdom in what you're in the trial and the testing that you're in, ask God for wisdom. If you don't understand what you're in, ask God what you're in. So, Lord, what is this that I'm in? And then once you've asked Him, then activate that wisdom into your life. Now, the problem is that we've been enduring without inserting God's wisdom. So you would tell me, Pastor, I know all this stuff. You've preached it, I've heard it, I've read it, that I'm supposed to endure, that I'm supposed to consider it joy when I enter into these trials and testings. But now what do I do? What we've been doing is enduring without God's wisdom. And we've been like natural Israel. We keep going around the same mountain in the wilderness our whole life. Keep fighting the same enemies. Keep doing the same thing because we have not entered into God's wisdom. We're enduring, but we're not having His wisdom. Look at me in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. God's wisdom is God's secrets. And what I want to point out to us here, if I could communicate this and the Holy Spirit will help me and you to understand, we're going to come into an understanding of something that's really going to help us from this proverb, from these proverbs. Verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 3. How blessed is the man who does what? Finds wisdom. Now, is wisdom something that's just given to us or something that we have to seek after and find? It's always that way. It's portrayed as something that we've got to grasp and get a hold of and find. It's always that way. It's a woman that we desire and we move after her. It's not a quickie. And the man who gains understanding. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Wisdom brings understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. What is wisdom? She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Now we sing that lovely chorus. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. And that's true. But that Bible is really talking about wisdom. We're really talking here about the wisdom of God that is more costly and precious and finer. Then he says, verse 16, long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Let me ask you right here. How many want to live a long time? Okay. How many want riches? What have you got to do to get them? Okay. Find wisdom. Verse 17. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Now, when you enter into a trial and a testing, the first thing you're going to lose is your peace and your joy. That's what you're going to lose. And peace is not an emotion. You've heard me say this.
Peace is not a warm feeling. Peace, if you'll understand what I'm going to say, peace is having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're above your enemies. You're above your circumstances. They're not above you. You're not even in them. They're under you. You put the enemy where? Under your foot. Okay. That's what peace is. Peace is the way you think. Peace is always associated with thinking. Philippians chapter 4 says, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are of a good report, whatsoever things are worthy of excellence, whatsoever things are worthy of praise, think on these things, and the God of peace shall guard your heart and your mind. If you can understand it, it's like him stationing an angel to guard your heart and your mind, and nothing, no depression, no evil thoughts, nothing like that will ever enter into your mind as long as you're thinking on what he says to think on. When you decide that you're not going to think on those things, the angel has to remove himself, and in comes depression, in comes evil thoughts, in come wicked thoughts. Peace is guaranteed when you're seeking wisdom. Peace. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. I want to say something, and I really want you to put your antennas up and listen to me. In the Garden of Eden, there were two main trees. There were more than two trees. But there are two main trees that we all are familiar with. There was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam was told, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, of all the other trees, you can partake. All of them. But do not eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, because in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Death is in the knowledge of good and evil. So we go to somebody and we want their input into our situation, into our battle, what we're going through. And we say, will you please help me? Will you give me some counsel? And they give you good counsel. Sounds good. Doesn't have to be evil. Can be good. But it's not God. It's good. But it's not God. What will, even though that's good counsel, what will that good counsel work in your life when you eat of it? The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Even though it's good and evil. It's the knowledge of good and evil. But it's not God. In your lap, in the 18th verse that we've just read, in the third chapter of Proverbs, it tells you what the tree of life is. We've all wondered, well, what is the tree of life? You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was an apple tree, right? What is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Wisdom. And he says, if you'll eat this, if you'll eat the wisdom of God, you'll live and not die. You'll have long life. You'll be happy. You'll have peace. How many want that? You see that? Oh, it can be good counsel. That's why I'm saying, make them show you a scripture. Where's it at in God's word? Two reasons that you want that scripture shown to you. One of all, like I just told you, it'll help them. And they need to know if they're telling you the truth. They need to know if they're saying the word of God to you. But the second thing is you need to be able to enter into warfare with that thing. You don't need to quote Delbert. You don't need to quote Judy. You don't need to quote Pastor Tebow. Who do you need to quote to that thing? The word of God. The wisdom of God. You need to know where it's at in your Bible so you can turn to it and say, devil, right here it says, I shall live and not die. By his stripes I'm healed. Do you see what I'm saying now? See, the tree of life is wisdom. And once we tap into God's wisdom, we can have our minds renewed. Oh, we need our minds renewed. We don't need good counsel. Folks, you don't need good counsel. You need God's counsel. And it's coming into the wisdom of God. It's coming into that realm of getting God's wisdom, asking God for it. Now, if things are out of order, well, I want to read just a little bit further. Verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. What did he found it by? By wisdom. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies dripped with dew. My son, let them not depart from your sight.
keep sound wisdom and discretion. What is the earth and the heavens and the deeps founded on? Wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Do you consider it strange that the first gift of the Spirit that Paul mentions to us in the book of 1 Corinthians is the word of wisdom, and then it's the word of knowledge, and then it's faith? You've got to take wisdom, you've got to take the knowledge that you get from that wisdom and activate that by your faith. From that will come miracles, healings, prophecy. Out of that will come all these things. Will come interpretation, discerning of spirits, interpretation of tongues, and the tongues, and then interpretation of tongues. That's the order which he gives a man. But the first thing is wisdom and then knowledge. Understand what I'm going to say. This whole thing is created by God in wisdom. This whole thing. He created it. He founded it on wisdom. So in your trials, or battles, excuse me, that you go through, when you enter into those trials and those battles, if you get God's wisdom, let me use another example. Don Dowd, wave at me. Okay. We got a refrigerator. I'm using a refrigerator. And something's wrong with the electrical circuits. And so I want wisdom as to how to fix this thing. And so I've got a pamphlet that's got all the circuitries and the, what do you call that? Diagram. Okay, that's good enough. We got a diagram here, see? And it's showing me the circuitries of this electrical system. I've got the picture of it. And so I take that circuitry and I trace it down and I find out where the problem's at. Or I can say, well, maybe this is wrong. I pull it out. Well, that is, maybe this is wrong. And I call somebody on the telephone. Well, my refrigerator's doing this. Well, I say, well, maybe this is wrong. Now, which one will fix my refrigerator? The diagram. Where is your diagram? Okay. Are you hearing me? What I'm trying to say is this. Oh, if you can hear me. If you can just hear what I'm saying. God created this whole thing in his wisdom. Whatever situation you're in, if you'll get in there and ask God to reveal his wisdom to you, you'll find out how that thing works. You'll find out what's got messed up in there. You'll find out how to fix it. It's in his wisdom. This whole thing is in his wisdom. Amen. And once we get in there and tap into his wisdom, we'll find out how to really fix it. I told you last week, you come to me, you tell me your problems, and I try to help you, I really do. I try to give you the word of the Lord, try to give you the wisdom of God. But most of the time, you're only going to tell me a part of your problem. That's just the way we are. You know the whole problem. The Holy Spirit knows the whole problem. And when you get into the wisdom of God, you'll fix that thing. You'll truly fix it. So we're seeking the wisdom of God because this whole thing is founded upon the wisdom of God. Verse 23. Then you will walk in your way securely. How many want security? And your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. How many need some sweet sleep? You go through these trials, these testings, these bad times, can't sleep, can't eat. You just told me you don't know what the wisdom of God was in that circumstance. The fifth thing that he says to do is get God's wisdom. And I've got to understand, if things are out of order in my life in any area, what I've got to do is find God's wisdom in that situation. Now, sixth thing. It says, apply wisdom without doubting. Apply wisdom without doubting. Now, what happens here is there's two dimensions. First of all, you got to know God's wisdom. And secondly of all, you got to speak God's wisdom. And I'm going to touch on both of these real quickly. Apply the wisdom without doubting. We've got to take what we know and apply it to our lives. And I'm going to use some examples that we're all aware of real quickly. The Bible tells us, husbands, love your wives how? As Christ loved the church. But, Pastor, you don't know my wife. You've just doubted. Right? Doesn't say, but you don't know my wife. It says, love your wife as Christ. Wife, how does it say that you're supposed to respond to your husband? Submit to your own husband, even as unto the Lord. But Pastor, you don't know my husband. But I'm telling you, you've just doubted. You just said the good way, the way of the world, is better than God's way. And you're trying to do this thing double-minded. A part of what God says and a part of what the world says. Children, obey your parents. So that, quote it, help me with it, you guys know it, things will go well with you and you'll live long on the earth. But Pastor, they won't let me do anything. They ground me. They're mean to me. You've just doubted. And things are not going to go well with you. And you're not going to live long on the earth. Now, are you hearing what I'm... Don't doubt. What doubting is not being obedient to the Word of God. Simple, you know, we got all this faith teaching and it's wonderful and it's glorious. But folks, faith is the simplest thing. Faith is just being obedient to God's Word. Faith is doing the Word of God. James says, you tell me about your faith, but I'll show you my faith by my works, by my doing what God said to do. Jesus said it this way, the wise man, the what kind of man? The wise man built his house on the rock or the sayings of Jesus Christ. He not only heard the sayings, but he did them. And that was the wise man. But the foolish man was not so. He heard the sayings. He did not do them. Faith is simply doing the word. It's just, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Is that what the Word of God says? Can you please God without being obedient to Jesus Christ? Without being obedient to His Word? We need some kidney medicine around here, don't we? We've got to learn to be obedient to the things of God. We've got to act the Word of God into our life and make it work in our life so that what we build will stand no matter what comes against it. Faith is just doing what God said to do. So we know that our marriage, okay, let me give you a couple of more. How about at work? We need the wisdom of God. We hate our boss. We hate our supervisor. But what does the Word of God say? You're not working for Him. Who are you working for? The Lord. And what I do as unto the Lord. But Pastor. Oh, Pastor. Well, you just doubted. He's put him there for you. And you need to read the Bible and see if I'm telling you the truth there. The reason that he's there and the reason that he's that way is for you. Consider it all joy. Okay, let's get a couple of more. Uh-huh. How about worship and praise? The Word of God says, clap your hands, all you people, and all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. The Bible says, let them dance. And then in Psalms 150, it says, dance before the Lord. The Bible says to lift your hands in the sanctuary. But Pastor, I really don't feel that. And you'd be the first one to tell me that your faith is not on feelings. You just doubted the Word of God. You doubted what the Bible has told you. How to worship, how to praise God. I'm getting a little more serious now, huh? How about this one? How about the assembling of ourselves together? I'm meddling or am I fixing? Watch out. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. In other words, some's got a habit of not assembling themselves together. Forsake not the assembling of themselves together, as the manner of some is, and even more as you see the day approaching. But Pastor, I don't believe you've got to come here and be at church all the time. I don't believe that. Well, you've just doubted the Word of God. The Bible says, forsake not. The Bible says that built on your feelings. The Bible says that you're supposed to do it. And the verse before that says, provoking one another into love and to good works. How? By not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, I've had people tell me, Pastor, you really don't love people. You're not really loving. Well, then you need to come and provoke me into love and to good works. Right. And those people that always said that were the people that I never saw, but about once a week. You know? And maybe once a month. Yeah, that's better, wouldn't it? you hear this now. I know you do. Let's go on. I've meddled enough. How many sees that there is a doubting that can come into our faith, and what that doubting will do is cause us to be double-minded? And that's what he's saying there. The double-minded man is unstable in how many of his ways? All of his ways. He says you're like the surf of the sea. One day you'll do it like God says, the next day you're doing it like the world says. One day you're doing it like God says, the next day you're unstable in all your ways. And he says, let not that man think that he'll get anything from God. The wisdom of God, the faith of God, doing these things is just simply being obedient to what God says to do. When we receive counsel, we need to make them show us the Scripture. When we come into these things, we need to understand that it's got to be by the Word of God. It has to be settled by the Word of God. The second way, you got to know the Word of God. That's what I just pointed out. You got to know the Word of God in your life. The second thing you got to do is activate that Word of God in your life. You know the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 gives us two principles. It says, the first principle that I project, he says that if you know in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's the first principle. You got to know the Word of God. Right? You got to know the wisdom of God. But then he says there's something else that you've got to do. What do you need to do? Confess that Jesus is Lord. There is the knowing and then there is the confessing. You've got to activate that wisdom. You've got to activate what God has shown you. Jesus said in Mark 11, as he's teaching us there about faith, he says, this is what faith is. He says, I'll read it. Verse 23 says, truly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. See the two principles. Whoever says to the mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted to him. Do you see the two principles? It's one thing of knowing it, then you've got to understand that there is a confession that's going to work a salvation. Knowing it in your heart is part of it. But he says, when you pray, say. James says that in chapter 2 of the same book that we're looking at, in chapter 2 of James, he says that a ship sets its rudder, and that the storms come against that ship, the waves beat against it. How many of you have had some waves and some storms to beat against your life? But he says they got their rudder set, and they're going to end up at their destination because that rudder is set. And he says, even so, the tongue is your rudder. The tongue, you'll set that thing. You know it in your heart, then you got to say it with your mouth. We've got to come to the place where we can speak to mountains, we can speak to trees, we can speak to financial problems, we can speak to marriages, we can speak to whatever, and not doubting, not doing what God said to do, but believing in our heart, doing what God said to do, and he says that thing will move. Right. Now you can't say it and not believe it. And you don't believe it unless you do it. You can say one thing and do another, and that won't happen. But if you do what God says to do and then speak to that mountain, Jesus said, it will move. Amen. There's two things, knowing the Word of God and then activating the Word of God. Two things, two principles. And we've got to come into that. We've got to understand that. That was the sixth thing, is activating the wisdom of God. Then the seventh thing, without doubting, the seventh thing is receiving the crown of life. Now, what I want to do is give you the formula. I'll give you the formula, and if I want you to get this. Starts off here. He says, when you enter into various trials or testings, let's put trials, and in parenthesis, battles. When you come into these trials and these battles, what's the first thing that he says you've got to do? Consider them joy. You have got to add the joy of the Lord. You have got to get God involved into that problem. You have got to bring into that problem the strength of God. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. You've got to bring in the presence of God, and His joy is in His
and His presence is fullness of joy. You got to bring the kingdom of God into that thing. Righteousness, peace, and joy. You've got to bring God into what's happening in your life. It's got to be a part of the program. It's got to be a part of the formula for coming into this crown of life that we're talking about. The next thing that he says that you've got to do after you've got joy, you've got to know knowing. You've got to know that this thing is working for your good. Because it's working into your life, endurance, patience. You're running your course. You're coming to the place that God wants you to come to. You got to know that. You got to know that it's for a reason in your life. And you don't want to keep fighting the same thing. You don't want to keep going around the same mountain and fighting the same thing and just having endurance without wisdom. You want to know it. You want to know that it's supposed to do something in your life. Find out what it's supposed to do and get it done. Amen. The next thing that he says after you know it, you got to add endurance. You got to add endurance. You got to know that there's no quickies in the kingdom of God. You got to understand that. Now, there's two principles that I want to project to you really, really quickly. Two things can be happening. You say, hey, I do all that. Well, there are two things that can be happening. One is you can be totally missing God. You may be working in what's good and evil and not working in the tree of life of the wisdom of God. That can be what's happening, and that's probably what's happening. Or there's a principle that we found in Galatians chapter 6 where it tells us another thing. He says, listen, you're going to reap in due season, in due time, if you what? Faint not. You may have got the wisdom of God and you have sown the seed and you are doing the wisdom of God. You can prove it in the scriptures that you're doing the wisdom of God. Well, you shall reap in due season if you faint not. But probably, and what I find is true in most Christians' life is not that principle. What I find in most Christians' life is they've missed God totally. And just like Israel, when they wouldn't do what God said to do, wouldn't do what He had told them by word to do, they wouldn't do it. They walked in rebellion. They kept going around the same mountain for 40 years. Their whole life was spent in misery. Well, they could have entered into the promises of God. So endurance, you've got to add to your battle. You've got to add joy. You've got to add knowing that you're going someplace with this thing. And then you're coming into endurance. It's going to work something into your life. Not a quickie, but what God's perfect will is for you. All right, then there's wisdom. You've got to add wisdom. Got to find what God's wisdom is in the thing and do it. God's wisdom. Find out what His Bible says. Find out how do you get wisdom. Seek it out. Find it in His Word. Get around godly people that understand the principles of God. Make them show it to you in the Word of God. Put that wisdom into your life, knowing in your heart that God truly said that because it's written in the Word, and then speaking it with your mouth. Activate that wisdom without what? Without what? Minus doubting. Can't have doubting. When you bring the doubting into there, then you have nullified what God is trying to do. You're bringing doubting in, and He says there that the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and he don't even think that he needs to get what he's asked of God. You got to eliminate doubting. How do you eliminate doubting? Just do what the Word says do. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, even as unto the Lord. As hard as that may seem to do, if you'll do it, you've got God's wisdom in the thing and you've eliminated doubting. That's what we're talking about. Eliminate the doubting. Take away the doubting. Without doubting or double-mindedness. And then, what that's going to equal, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things. And what that's going to work into our lives and equal is the crown of life. Crown of life. Please notice that it does not say the crown of death. You don't get this when you die. You get this when you're alive. The crown of life. What does a crown? What does a crown signify? You're ruling. You rule life. Life doesn't rule you. You rule circumstances. Circumstances don't rule you. You rule your finances. Your finances doesn't rule you. You rule your marriage. Your marriage doesn't rule you. That's the crown of life. Folks, it's going to be glorious when we all get to heaven. But I want some of it now, don't you? I want to sit with Him right now in the heavenly places. I want to rule and reign with Him now. I don't want my circumstances ruling me. I don't want my fears and my depressions and the things of life and my trials and my battles ruling me. I know that if I understand that I'm in a battle, I add joy to that, knowledge to that, endurance to that, wisdom to that, take away my doubting, do it the way He says do, that I will have a crown of life. I will rule now. Consider it all joy, because you can come into the crown of life. Now, I can tell you these things, folks. I can teach these things to you. There it is in the Bible. You put this together, you'll rule your circumstances. Your circumstances will not rule you. You'll be victorious. You'll be a conqueror, not conquered. You'll be an overcomer and not overcome. You'll be wise and not worldly. You'll live and not die. Let's stand. Crown of life. Show me your hands if you want the crown of life now. Tired of fighting the same things. Tired of eating manna. Come on, Lord. Amen? Tired of fighting finances. Tired of fighting this guy at work. Tired of all. Well, put this together and understand that God wants to take you someplace. Tired of it. Find the wisdom of God. It's there. It is there. Now, remember, I'm saying this. There are no quickies. Your finances didn't get in the mess they're in yesterday. You're not going to get them fixed tomorrow. Your marriage didn't get in a mess yesterday. It's not going to be fixed tomorrow. It's to work something into you in endurance. You didn't get faithful to the house of God, unfaithful to the house of God yesterday. It's been a lifestyle for you. You won't get faithful tomorrow. But start it working in your life. Are you with me now? Now, how are we going to end this thing? You all have got something that you want to speak to. There is a battle in your life. Everybody's got one. Some of us have got more than one. I want you to pick out one. One that you know the Word of God. And you might not know the big one in your life. You may not know what the wisdom of God really is in that thing. But there's something that you know what the Word of God is. You may need healing. By His stripes you're healed. You may need finances, then you know the 811 principle. And if you're a tither, then you said, the devourer, you are rebuked in my life. You may have a problem at work with your boss. Well, you know what the Word of God says? You've got to work to Him as unto the Lord. No matter what it is, you quote the Word of God to that thing. If you know it in your heart and you speak to it in the name of Jesus and you speak the wisdom of God and the Word of God to it, I promise you that's going to work a crown of life. If the Word of God is true, this will renew your mind and bring you into a crown of life. I want you to find one. I want you to find an enemy now. I want you to find a battle, the battle you're fighting, the major battle. I want you to find it. I don't want you to quote what I said to it. I want you to know the Bible. I want you to quote the Bible to it. You know it in your heart. You're going to speak to that mountain now. You're going to speak to that mountain the wisdom of God. That's a good idea. Let's take a couple of seconds. You find it in your Bible. If you know where it's at, find it in your Bible. Whatever that is. If you don't know it, hold your hand up. I'll try to help you find it real quickly. But we need to learn how to do this. We need to be able to quote the wisdom of God to that thing. And the Bible says that if we do that, it's going to work a crown of life. You'll rule it. It won't rule you. Would you, while we're turning scriptures, we say it with your mouth. You need to learn how to say it with your mouth. Amen. 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 Thank you, Father. 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 Father, I thank you. Father, I speak to this church. I'm talking to me. This is mine now, okay? I speak to this church, Father. I declare that I will not be a participant of a church that is lackadaisical. And Father, I will not participate in a church and be a part of a church, Lord God, that is not moving on with you. Father, I declare the word of God to this church. I declare the word of God to this battle that I'm in. And Father God, I declare the word of God that you said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, that you would build the church and it would prevail against the gates of hell. And Father, I just declare that right now in Jesus' name. I declare the battle that I'm in, Lord God. I declare the battle, Lord God, that you try to keep a church moving and try to keep a church going on with a vision and with a purpose. Father, I declare that as hell comes against this church, I declare that this church will stand, will not fall. I declare it by Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 that you will build the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, I declare it. I speak the word of God to it. I speak the wisdom of God to it, and it will prevail. This church will live. This church will do all that you've called it to do. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. I declare the word of God to that battle. Father, I declare the word of God to that battle in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now what I want you to do is you need to begin to work this in your life. If you need healing, you need to know Isaiah 53. You need to know Peter, 1 Peter, where he says that by his stripes you are and were healed. You need to know that. You need to declare that thing to that. You need to know that if your finances that Malachi chapter 3 and 10 says the devourer is rebuked. Okay, you need to know these things. You need to understand the principles of the Word of God and learn how to quote the Word of God to the thing. Not just know it, but to confess it. Amen. Bless you. See you tonight at 6:00. God bless you.